Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. I'm Genevieve Randall. The next Humanities on the Edge speaker is in town. Her talk is Thursday, October 31st. Claire Colebrook is Edwin Earl Sparks Professor of English, Philosophy, and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Penn State University, and the author of nearly a dozen books. Her talk at 5:30 p.m. at Sheldon Museum of Art is titled, What Would You Do and Who Would You Kill in Order to Save the World? Post-Apocalyptic Cinema and Extinction. Claire Colebrook, thanks for stopping by NET on the way to your talk.
My pleasure.
So hopefully people hear this before the talk, right, so that they know to come.
I won't have any spoilers.
But they might hear this after. So reading the title of your talk, am I wrong? Are we just in some sort of like cultural wave of books, movies, and more with like zombies, struggle for survival, superheroes? What's happening?
Yes and no. Standard answer. Uh-huh. So let's say yes. I think if you go to the cinema now, nearly every film is about the end of the world, even when it's not about the end of the world. So I couldn't quite sit through Avengers Endgame, even 3 hours. So young attention spans are supposedly getting shorter. I don't know what happened there, but so even though that's not a post-apocalyptic film, the universe is in ruins. So it's a standard superhero film, but somehow the end of the world is always in the background, Blade Runner 2049. So on the one hand, you think we're obsessed with the end of the world. So that's the yes part. But the no part, which I think is the more interesting part, is that I think most of Western culture is about the end of the world or averting the end of the world. So that's not just cinema, but novels, movies. That's my philosophy. That's my claim. So that even if you go back to Plato, there's this notion that what makes us human is reason. But at the same time, that's always about to be taken away. It's always under threat. There's barbarians always at the gates. So even though it looks like we're in zombie mania, I think there's a through line.
That's a long through line.
It's a long through line, yes.
Well, and it's I'm hearing fear highlighted throughout human history, and it makes me think of current events and opinions, even about the media, for example.
Someone's always trying to take stuff away from us. So it is a long through line. So it does sound like I'm an excessive telescoper. But I think part of the value of that is to make what we think is human or the world strange to us. So I would say there are some cultures that don't suffer from someone's always trying to take not just our stuff, but someone's trying to take us away from us. So I come from Australia, and it's not just migrants trying to take away our stuff. It's when white settlers arrived in Australia and they saw these humans that they didn't recognize as humans, they also saw them as a threat to humanity. So you invade somewhere and see the people there not as people, but you also see them as barbarians, less than human. And unless you do something with those people, humanity's going to crumble. So you don't see it quite as an us and them, you just see it as an us and us. We're saving us. We're saving humanity, even though you're not really saving humanity.
It's partially got to be something psychological, right?
Do I agree with that? The only reason why I would say no, not psychological, is because I don't think it's an individual mindset. So let's say we take your idea, it's psychological.
Yeah.
Then we could say humans have a natural fear that something's about to be taken away from them. I don't want to go that. I want to say a certain type of human.
Yeah.
Probably white, Western, affluent, middle class humans have a very plush lifestyle, but because it's so plush, it's fragile, right? You get that lifestyle by doing a lot of things to other people. So I think, so that's why I wouldn't say it's psychological, because I would imagine that if you're one of those people who is having stuff taken away from you, you don't have this precarious position that your world is always about to end, because someone actually already ended your world for you. So that's why I would say it's not psychological. It does have psychological effects, I think.
Yes. Humanities on the Edge speaker series has always been this kind of cross-disciplinary, you know, that's how, and already I'm hearing a lot of that cross-discipline in what you're talking about. Your career, in fact, seems to fit that perfectly. Do you think that this kind of post-apocalyptic, you know, thread in cinema or novels or any of that, does it also exist in literature or films of or for LGBTQ communities or, you know, feminist communities? Or you want to speak to that?
That's a really good question. So does it exist? I would say no. So when you said, is it a psychological, is it a human condition? There's a really interesting and, for me, life-changing book by someone called C. Riley Snorton called Black on Both Sides. Really complex. But it's what it is to be black and trans. Huh. And your world has already been taken away from you. You are pretty much living in a state of ultimate fragility and precarity. And it's not simply that you're seen as the person who's threatening everyone else's world, right? You're threatening normativity, family, whiteness. You know, it's also that the often the only times you see persons of your own kind, this is what C. Riley Snorton said, and just very few things academically can blow you away. Mm. But as a graduate student, the only black and trans people that were visible were those that were dead. Right. So to go back to, like, is there a cinema or a literature? Like, is there a post-apocalyptic queer cinema? Is there a post? I don't think the two intersect. Mm-hmm. I started trying to look into this. I think there are resistant films about Indigenous communities at the end of the world, but they're not about we must save humanity and humanity will triumph and we'll go to the moon or go to some other solar system or some other place and recolonize and humanity will be reborn. It doesn't have that faith in humanity, and that's something affirmative that you can take from the end of the world, right? The end of the world might be the beginning of our world for others.
Yeah, that makes me think, if there is any one message that you would like listeners to come away with after your talk, what would that be?
The end of the world isn't the end of the world, right? So it's not the end of the world. Right? Yeah. We probably won't have this type of existence in 50 years. Uh-huh. But maybe that's not the end of the world.
In your research on this, what are some of the pieces of literature or film that you look to?
N.K. Jemisin. It's like a genre of fiction I would never read, fantasy fiction. I always thought that was a lowbrow for nerds and geeks, but that's because I'm a literature professor, right? But it's about living in a cycle of the earth which is constantly ending, and also being part of a species that is constantly trying to be eliminated, right? Mm-hmm. So it's sort of allegorical of where we are. It's about, you know, what is it to exist when the world doesn't want you to exist and has to enslave you in order to save itself, right? So I think this moment in, like, the 21st century might be like the 60s, in the sense that because it's a very bleak time, we're getting some of the best revolutionary writing on the fringes, right? Mm. There's a huge doubling down at the center, but it's producing very rich writing. I think, so I would go anything from N.K. Jemisin to Claudia Rankine's poetry, which is supposedly about what it is to live in a world of microaggression, but that also questions the existence of this world, right? That this world that's about to end, maybe the end of it wouldn't be such a tragic thing.
So I'm wondering where this comes from. Is it political? Is it current events? Is it natural disasters?
Right, that's interesting. I think when you say, is it political or is it natural disasters, I think it's not that it's both. Those two are exactly the same, right, in the sense that probably within the last decade, but maybe even fewer years than that, there really is a sense that there might be climate change denial, but that's a hard game to keep up, right? So I think there's really a sense that this is fragile, that's probably reached fever pitch, right? But the natural political cycle is, what, 3-5 years? So it's simply impossible for those two timelines to coincide, right? And so I think there's a background of panic, disaster, apocalyptic, where all the structures we have for discussing the polity are at a much shorter timeline, right? So just on the news this morning, because I'm staying in a hotel, right? I listen to hotel, you know, TV news.
Right.
And there is the discussion of the impeachment. And then there was this question posed, does focusing on this deflect attention away from the bigger issues? And supposedly the bigger issues are healthcare and so on. But there are bigger issues than that which are never going to be able to be captured in that arena of the polity. So when you said, is it political? It is, but only insofar as politics simply can't confront those timescales.
All right. I've been talking with Claire Colebrook. She is giving her talk for the Humanities on the Edge speaker series at the Sheldon Museum of Art on Halloween, October 31st, 5:30 p.m. We'll have a link to more about the series on the Friday Live page, and that is at netnebraska.org. Claire, so nice to meet you, and thanks
Very
again
nice to meet you.
For visiting with me here.
Thank you.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall.